Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now it's Braun who swings and launches. That's his way back. And that is your ball game.
Every year around this time, we look west to Arizona.
They took us on an amazing journey. I mean, they really did. We should all be grateful for being able to see, because it was a magical run.
Milwaukee baseball is on the air. This is your chance to get to know the 2019 team as we take you inside the clubhouse in Phoenix. This is Spring Training Live on the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, live from the AmFam booth, here are your hosts, Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
And welcome in, Brewers fans, another edition of Spring Training Live presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen, Baby Tausch Bill Schmid here in Phoenix, Arizona, where a little something different today. That's a little bit of a rarity out in spring Cactus League, and that is a night game. They always try and squeeze in at least one per organization, and then
sure.
Brewers are slated to be in Scottsdale for a game against the Giants. Lineups are out. We'll get to that in just a second. The Brewers make their first round of cuts, but the night game does throw things off just a little bit here in Cactus League. Now, it's good from the day before, yesterday into today. For these ball players, they get the morning session off. They go have a little nightlife if that's what they choose to do.
And I would
not have to worry about being, in the clubhouse by 8 a.m. But so you get that bonus. And however, now you get a night game, and now you're up till who knows, and then you still have to report tomorrow morning.
Right, and then you can't make it to the casino like we're going to after the game. The funny thing about these games for me is, Tim, there's going to be a wave of guys that want absolutely no part of being at this game tonight because they have their families out here, they have their lives out here. And then there's other guys that this is a test run for what it's like during the season, because you're playing,
yeah.
I mean, three quarters, five sixths of your games in the regular season are going to be at night. It's good to at least have some kind of a dress rehearsal of what that's like coming to leaving from the team hotel. First bus is here. Second bus leaves then. Third bus, you better be on it. That leaves at 4:48, whatever it is. And you can start simulating what those nights are like when you go to an opposing team's ballpark.
That's what Council referred to yesterday, and he was talking about that. We're going to treat this as a normal night game. And you know, this is going to start 7 o'clock Arizona time. So it will be a normal night game for these guys. And there's certain players that, you know, aren't going to get to that game, or let alone get in the game, won't even be at the game.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one left fielder, Ryan Braun. He wasn't slated to play too much on the road. Now, the conspiracy people, now years ago, and not that long ago, just a handful of years ago, we had thought it was about the suspension and the stuff that Ryan Braun got into, that they just didn't want to expose him to the away crowds in Cactus League. And at that time, maybe it made a little sense, comfort zone at home. That still continued, so it may have had nothing to do with it.
Right, and I think more of it had to do with the fact of the $20 million that you're paying him. You knew he was going to be on the team.
Yeah.
You might as well use these reps for somebody like Tyrone Taylor, who you don't know if he's going to appear in a big league game this year.
And he gets a start tonight, and we'll get to that in a second here. But Brawny hits the homer yesterday. He only needs, again, now he's tweaking his approach a little bit. Let's keep that in mind, that he's working on some things. And we'll have just a brief conversation about that, because we haven't yet. The changes that Ryan Braun has made in his swinging this year, as opposed to a veteran with a tremendous amount of success doing it his way. And admittedly, last year, through the offseason, early on here in camp, had made mention that, hey, his hard ball rate was up, you know, basically a bad luck hitter is really what it comes down to. So is it a knee-jerk reaction for Braun, or is it just the new wave thing that you do a little bit of the uppercut and you go from there? I don't know if this is a good idea for Ryan Braun. I'm not sure yet.
I think it's a great idea. He had one of the smoothest swings I've ever seen a baseball player have. And
since he's been 11 years old.
Since he's been 11 years old. And Chris Bryant talks about the same thing with his swing, Tim, right? And Chris Bryant has had trouble last year and not the success, the sustained success that Ryan Braun has had in his career, but Chris Bryant was a Rookie of the Year and then an MVP and won a World Series. And he's like, I've swung the same way my entire life. There's only so much I can do to change that. And with Braun, I think some of it is going to be just understanding how to maximize those hard hit balls and be able to simply just get a little more lift, just get it over that shortstop's head.
Because
there were a few just rocket balls to second base that ended up in a leaping glove, where it could have been a double and extra bases and more runs for a team that for a while last year did struggle to score runs.
Yeah, and he is, you know, that's got to be frustrating. And I know it frustrates him as well to, you know, be in a situation where there's two on, two out, and you just, you know, tattoo a baseball. And it happens to be, as you said, right at somebody. Maybe the small tweaks that Ryan Braun is going to make is going to make a difference. And we'll find out. Now, he played in 120-some-odd games last year. I suspect that'll be about the same. Would you be all right with 125
games? I'd be happy with it.
Yeah, games played in some fashion, whether that's off the bench, whether that's, you know, however he gets into 125.
Because, frankly, I didn't think that would be feasible for a long time.
Yeah.
I thought that it was we had seen the days of Braun's extended time playing before us. And when you have an outfield like the one that the Brewers have with Kane, Yelich, and Braun, and insert Ben Gamel, I guess, there, there's going to be an ability for you to still get quality at-bats in when he isn't in the lineup. And I think you'll see a little bit more possibly this year, Tim, of him pinch-hitting in those roles.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. It could be interesting,
because usually when they give him a night off, they're giving him a full night off.
Well, I think they did, you know, I know it irks me a little bit when you got a rubber game against, you know, St. Louis or something, and Ryan Braun has this infamous scheduled day off.
Right, because it's scheduled with the off day the next day, so you can double it up.
Okay, fine, it bothers me. We all know that, those that listen to the post-game show, we talk about that quite often. But what it did was it set Ryan Braun up for a run of consecutive games down that stretch,
mm-hmm.
and he was in every day.
And it also gave him the optimism, on the word choice, it gave him the optimism that he could tell the guys 3 weeks left in the season, hey, if I stay healthy, I'm going to carry us.
Yeah, jump on my back, let's
yep.
go. And that's what happened. So we'll see about that with Ryan Braun. The game tonight, get used to this, and this is going to be interesting because they're facing a right-hander tonight. And listen to the lineup here that they're going to throw out there. Lorenzo Cain, Yelich, then Grandal. So you got righty, lefty, lefty. And then it's Shaw, Moustakas, Thames. 4-5-6.
Man, that is so thick.
You've got five consecutive lefties in this order tonight. And I would be a little bit surprised if the Brewers don't launch some homers tonight. I'd be surprised. Maybe the wind in Scottsdale is maybe blowing in from right. I don't really know quite yet. But then it's Arcia, Kratz, and then Tyrone Taylor hitting ninth. And that'll be behind Zach Davies, who comes in 1-0 through four games in Cactus League action. 3.72 earned run average, 9 2/3 with four strikeouts, a nice whip, 1.03. So Zach Davies, feeling good about him?
Yeah, I'm feeling better about Zach Davies right now than I am Chase Anderson and Jimmy Nelson combined. Because Zach, I think for me, Tim, it was simply staying healthy. Chase had to tweak something mechanically to keep the ball in the ballpark. Jimmy's obviously coming back from the major injury. Zach was able to come back last year, get his feet wet before the playoffs came and went, was able to get into a regular routine going into the offseason, and train as if he was getting ready for a 162-game baseball season like he's done a few different times in his career. I'm feeling very confident in Zach Davies being a part of this rotation and a legitimate part to a playoff team.
Now, this is, I believe, a webcast game. I may have said yesterday a TV game, but it is.
You big on those webcasts?
Webcast game.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a big fan of the webcast?
But
you do that on the internet, Tim, just so you know.
Really?
Yeah, the World Wide Web is how they get the word webcast.
Do I plug it in where the fax machine would go?
Those aren't real. Nobody has those anymore. I don't get how I was asked to send a fax. There's no one uses a fax machine anymore.
That's right. But this offensive lineup, guys, man, from the two spot here, Yelich, Grandal, Shaw, Moustakas, Thames. Wow. Lefty laden lineup tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers. They do make some cuts yesterday after the ball game. Now, we say cuts, I think that's a little bit of I don't know if that's fair to say cut, because they do end up, you know, borrowing players from the minor
league well, sure.
side. And a lot of people, when we say cut from camp, some folks may think that they're cut from the team. That's certainly not the case.
Well, they are. They're cut from the big league team. We don't have to nurture these guys
from
and
the
coddle
big league,
them. Yeah, you're
25,
cut,
man.
You're cut from the big league team. Go down and get better. I think there's part of that those guys need to understand.
Marcos Diplon was sent out. Trey Supach,
stunned
Aaron Wilkerson,
by Supach.
Peyton Henry, Zach Brown, Bubba Derby, Joe Olczyk. And a guy you're going to have to keep an eye on here as we move along, Angel Perdomo. That's my boy.
That's your boy?
Yeah. He came up through the Blue Jays system. Big, tall left-hander.
I'm really, really not surprised that Trey Supach didn't make the roster. That guy is just he's not great.
Who was the dude last year that was just getting rocked? Like a three word name. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, Quinton Torres Koska.
Yep.
He got lit up
every time.
And ended up playing pitching in the big leagues last year for somebody.
Yes.
That was crazy.
That was wild. On the show tonight, stick around. We will hear from Mike Moustakas. We're going to hear from Brewers Minor League Pitcher of the Year from a year ago, Zach Brown. A fun conversation we had with Zach Brown a day or two ago. So stick around for that. A lot more. Adrian Hauser. You remember now, those of you that, again, we have to go back in our memory bank to remember things from last year because it all went so damn quick.
Yeah, this one's hard to forget.
From Adrian Hauser. He got sick on the mound, hot day at Miller Park. Man, I miss those days. They're coming, though.
But then in fairness, though, Tim, I also give him a reminder of what happened to me sometime. That we were even, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Yeah, indeed. So stick around. We're going to hear from Lucas Erceg, one of the top prospects for the Brewers.
The truth.
The truth. We have dubbed him the truth, and we'll do that. A lot to get to. Hey, by the way, if you want to join the conversation at any time, we'll do our best to make some time for you at 414-799-1250. You can email live at 1057fmthefan.com. You're listening to another edition of Spring Training Live 2019, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim and Taos live in Phoenix here on The Fan. And welcome back. Spring Training Live 2019 here in Phoenix, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here on The Fan. Tim and Taos, as we broadcast here in Arizona. Brewers with a night game. I wish I had some good news and report another Brewers victory. They won five consecutive games in Cactus League here.
Got to defend that Cactus League championship from last year.
That's right. Fly that banner at American Family Fields of Phoenix. Yeah, Cactus League champion. Well, they got two titles then. So the championship season was actually sort of correct last year.
Yeah, but still sort of wrong. Yeah, okay. you're still 0 for 14.
But the championship season of 2019, let's see if we can start with the Cactus League title and then move on to the division champ, the NL champ, the World Series champ. Now that would make it a championship season for sure. Lucas Erceg, we had our conversation just a day or two ago. We'll hear from Lucas the Truth Erceg in just a second. He's a kid Interestingly, you'll hear it in this, and I didn't know this about him, and I thought it was quite revealing that he admitted he grew up with some tough economic times, and that kind of relates to his good question by you in terms of his batting gloves. I never thought of it like that.
Because, never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
I always thought that it was more of a natural feel. You like how it feels on the wood with the hands. You have more of a compact swing with anything in interfering in that sense. No, it was just that's how he's always grown up. That's how he had to play when he was younger, and he was always playing.
Couldn't buy him.
And I think some of that, Tim, baseball is a sport that, I mean, let's call a spade, man. You know this more than anybody with baseball's not a cheap sport to play.
No.
People wonder why there's a certain amount of players that play baseball. It's not a cheap sport to play. You can't usually just go up with a couple of buddies and get good at baseball because you can't play with three guys.
Yeah.
When you're playing basketball, there are drills that you can work on by yourself instead of just throwing a baseball against a net back to yourself. There's really no way that you can get better without multiple players.
As the guys get older, it gets more and more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And I know
wood
that
bats and the composites
are the
moms and all that kind of stuff.
Moms and the dads that are tuned in that have kids in the game, they know that. And part of that is making sure the kid has confidence. So, you know, there's ways to cut costs on things, but if everybody else on the team has the new flavor of the month bat, and all of a sudden you're the you're the outcast.
You're the kid that you don't have your own bat, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Can I borrow yours? No, you're not touching my, you know, things like that. So, Luke, I thought that was quite revealing.
You would have been the parent that wouldn't let him share his bat.
Well, I just the wood bats. Yeah, man.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, they crack like. But just all the time.
But it's for the team, man.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. But Lucas Hursag, a guy that's how's he doing this spring? Well, they had a nice hit yesterday in the victory over the White Sox. But, you know, it's a process, and he talks about that process. And let's hear from Lucas Hursag as we talked to him just a day or two ago.
Tim and Taos, 2019 spring training live, right on cue.
Ooh.
There's a party going on in the clubhouse here.
I could do a little shaking to this, Timmy.
You could.
Do a little shaking.
We're in the clubhouse with the truth. We have nicknamed you the truth, Lucas Hursag. Is that all right with that nickname?
That's totally okay with me, yeah.
No, yeah, how you feeling? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's great, man. I'm having a good spring training so far, and you know, I hope to keep it up.
We were just talking to another reporter. You are part of that next wave coming through. Do you have to control yourself in thinking that way, that you're going to be part of something special, whether it's intermingled with these guys or with the next wave?
Yeah. I mean, no doubt. You know, there's a bunch of guys that are, you know, coming up through the system that, you know, I've had a bunch of success. And I would like to believe that I'm, you know, part of that group and you know, at the same time, I feel like, you know, we're just going to have to keep doing what we're doing, and that's just, you know, staying connected and you know, enjoying the process and kind of embracing it because, you know, there's plenty that we still have to work on, but understanding that it is a process and allowing ourselves to keep getting better is what's going to help us get to that next level.
And thinking about it, talk about the process. Now this year you're here in spring training. You got the name on the back of the jersey.
Yep.
That's another step as you
for
keep
sure.
kind of climbing.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's awesome to be around a bunch of the older guys and more, you know, veteran guys. And, you know, it's fun to watch them and see what their process is like going, you know, day to day and learning from that for sure. I think the biggest part is, you know, kind of taking a step back and watching what they're doing. You know, you can pick out things that you like that they do and you can kind of relate it to, you know, what you kind of figure out how to do in terms of, like, you know, your daily routine and how to act and how to, you know, even talk to the media and you know, just being around them, you know, kind of, you kind of learn from that for sure.
No, but you have to incorporate that with your own style, though. So you got to henpeck what works for you.
Correct.
Though, right?
Correct. Yeah. Just like, I mean, everyone's swing is different, and you know, a lot of things that Corey Ray does really well is, you know, might be something that I don't do very well, and vice versa. So, just learning how to, like I said, pick pick what you think is going to help you be successful is the biggest thing.
Okay, so I got to ask, no batting gloves.
No batting gloves.
I love it. Have you always gone clean or what?
Yeah, so, I hit him. I didn't grow up with a lot of money, and so for me, you know, I never used them growing up, and, mm-hmm. and you know, kind of just got used to it. So, you know, like I'll wear batting gloves. Like I had to wear batting gloves in Biloxi last year a couple of times just because of how humid it got, and you know, the dirt wasn't dry enough for me to use. So, I will say I do use batting gloves, but I don't really like to. I like the connection that I have with just the, you know, the piece of wood, a little bit of tape, and my bare hands.
Sure. Just real quick for our listeners and the Brewers fans, walk us back to that. You made mention that you didn't have a lot of money. Were you a travel ball kid? I know you were D1, then you were NAIA.
Right,
but
right.
Walk us back through that.
Probably from the time I was 8 years old up until college ball, I was basically playing every single weekend. It didn't matter for what team, mm-hmm. But I always tried playing as much as I could because, you know, I used baseball as an outlet growing up, and you know, it kind of helped me, you know, step away from you know, the issues I had growing up, this and that. But yeah, for the most part, I was playing almost every day. You know what I mean?
Billy, he says he had issues growing up, so I feel better connected now because we have our own issues now.
Well, and that's the thing, Lucas, I think it's something that a lot of people enjoy getting the feel to, because a lot of people watch you guys on TV, put you guys on a pedestal, and don't realize you guys are real people. You guys go through real issues every day.
No doubt. And it's funny you mention that, because, like, you know, my first spring training, I was over on the big league side playing a lot. And like you said, you know, there's all these Ryan Braun's, Christian Yelich's, Lorenzo Cain's, Mike Moustakas, Travis Shaw's. You kind of grow up watching, and all of a sudden you're on the same field as them. You're kind of blown away because you're like, oh my gosh, you know, like I'm next to, you know, Ryan Braun, and he's, you know, one of my heroes growing up.
I watched
him
for 10 years.
Exactly. So, man, it's funny to kind of take that with a grain of salt and just, you know, I have an opportunity here. You know what I mean? And I'm going to keep doing whatever it takes to, you know, get to that level for sure.
But despite those names you mentioned, man, you gotta be believing in your own talents as well to go side by side with those dudes.
For sure. Yeah, I always like to say, you know, I like to think cocky, but act humble. You know what I mean? I like to keep that type of stuff to myself and make sure I'm not stepping on anybody's toes, mm-hmm. you know, because I am a young guy, and you know, that's not my place. But you know, there that feeling of self-confidence definitely, you know, shows for sure.
You gotta have it in this game.
Yeah,
you do.
Exactly, yeah, you have to have it. And all the greatest players do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But nowadays, with like social media and all that stuff, you know, you can get into a lot of trouble, and you know, that's why I like to think, you know, just keep to myself and you know, just do my own thing for sure.
Well, final thing, Fortnite, mm-hmm. okay, that game, and we've been talking about it for a few years on the post game show.
Yeah,
drives me crazy. But I understand it's a very,
because you still haven't gotten your first dub. That's what I think. That's what I think is the biggest issue. You still haven't gotten your first win. That's why you hate it.
No, yeah. I'm trying to use the lingo too. Can I join your squad? Is that the right one?
Okay. Where are we dropping?
Yeah, where are we dropping, boys? Where are we dropping, boys?
So you were watching Fortnite. So there's just, it's like you can watch to get better.
Yeah. I think it more for me is just entertainment. I love playing Fortnite. I've never experienced playing a video game that has so much, I want to say, primal adrenaline, hunting, killing. You know what I mean? Like, not obviously not killing.
Gathering.
But,
yeah.
But there's definitely a different vibe that you get from playing Fortnite that I can't really explain. You know, I have a couple of teammates that say, "Oh no, I'll never play Fortnite." And I go, "Well, listen, dude, you have to at least try it just to understand what I'm trying to explain to you, because that that, you know, that primal sense of urgency and survival, and I don't know, man, it's an awesome game.
Yeah, I catch my son doing the happy dance in his room all the time because of that game.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's you know, when there's you know, four or five people left and you're one of them, it gets hectic and your adrenaline starts flowing and all of a sudden it feels like you know hit a walk-off home run. I mean, obviously hitting a walk-off home run feels way better, but
hey man, I don't know about that. Yeah. There's sometimes you're talking some trash in there, and you know it's you and the one other guy, and you're finding him around that mountain.
Right. Yeah, you got to try it at least once.
Yep. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you at the big league level, man, real soon. And I hope you don't mind we call you the Truth. We've dubbed you a nickname already, and we're going to spread the word for Lucas Irsay.
Sounds good, man. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. There he is. And I love that story of his, and I know he had some issues there with going to the D1 level. I think it was Cal. And then he steps down to NAIA. There were some academic issues and maybe some other stuff going on, but seems like a good young dude. And I love the line, you know, you think cocky, but you act humble. And I think that's a really fine line there for some of these younger players, because you can't come in there as a Corey Ray, as a Lucas Irsay, as a Keston Hira, and be so enamored by the Ryan Braun's and Moustakas and Lorenzo Cain's with downgrading your own abilities.
And it also comes back to, I mean, we were talking about it on the big show earlier today, Tim, with what the Packers did. When you go and sign guys that are going to play and start, but they've now played in the NFL, they're not going to get, you know, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed when Aaron Rodgers walks in from the training room. There's a difference between knowing that you can play with these guys and telling everybody that you know you can play with these guys. I think what Lucas is saying there is you have to have a confidence about yourself to play this game, because this game humbles you every single night.
Oh, big time, man. That's cool. He seemed like a really good guy, man. The Fortnite conversation.
Super good dude.
Well, and that came up because when we approached him for the interview, he wasn't playing Fortnite. He was
watching it on Twitch.
Watching Fortnite.
Yeah, you watch videos of guys playing Fortnite. They like live stream themselves playing and telling you what's going on. You can just watch the videos.
I'm raising my hand. Gee, can I?
Yeah, it's actually pretty fun. I could stream you some of my stuff if you wanted. No?
No, that's all right. That's
now, okay. Tim, I know this is Spring Training Live 2019, and we got a lot of interviews that we want to talk about. But we are out here in Phoenix, and we're supposed to be joined by one of our radio comrades. Joe Zanzola is coming out here. And I just have to say there's an issue at the Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport that it's closed down for a tactical situation.
Yeah, you might have to come back next year.
So like, is he not going to be able to come in because one of the concourses and everything is closed because apparently they're investigating a suspicious package at Sky Harbor Airport?
I'm not rooting for that.
I'm not rooting
just
for
so
it.
You know, I'm on record. I'm not rooting for that.
I just saw it while we were listening to the interview, and I was just like, oh man, I'm just shaking my head.
That wasn't a bag that you left. Now, last year, you left a bag laying around.
Yes, last year I left a bag with all of our radio equipment in it, all these wires and microphones and plugs.
Oh,
and,
could you imagine?
And the guy
might be just getting out of jail.
And this guy's like, oh, yeah, it's right over here. So this year I just walked in with a cardboard box with all my stuff, and here it is.
Zach Brown will join us next, Brewers Minor League Pitcher of the Year. The Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski. And
don't
I
say
a
that
conversation.
In an airport.
That's true. We had a conversation with Jacob Barnes yesterday after the ball game. A lot to get to here. You're listening to Spring Training Live 2019, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim and Taos here in Phoenix with the Fan.
She'd take Colorado if he'd take her with him. Closes the door before the winter lets the cold in. And wonders if her love is strong enough to make him stay. She's answered by the taillights shining through the window pane.
Cold weather, Zach.
He said, I want to see you again.
What do you know about this, Timmy?
But I'm stuck in cold weather.
Like it. I like
you guys
it.
Could play this song.
Yeah.
Did we ask Zach if he plays any instruments?
We didn't.
See, now, because, like, you got to be somewhat a part of the band.
Yes. Yes, he should be.
He should be. He should be an honorable mention member of the Zach Brown Band.
That's right. And Zach Brown from the Zach Brown Band should wear a Zach Brown jersey.
I like it.
Once he hits.
When he comes to Milwaukee, that's the jersey that he has to rock. Indeed. I agree with you. Welcome, nice thinking.
Welcome back to Spring Training Live from Phoenix. Spring Training Live presented by
we're on
Milwaukee
the air?
Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And so we played a little Zach Brown Band because this conversation with Zach Brown, the Brewers minor league pitcher of the year from a year ago, he might be one of my favorite prospects now, just after having a conversation or two with him. Seriously. Seems like just all these guys seem like really good dudes. And but I shouldn't say all of them. There was one. I'm going to leave it nameless. I'm going to let people guess. But there was one that, and he's not a prospect, that a newer guy. That doesn't seem to quite fit the character mode, if you will, the personality mode.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah, and
but, that's not good.
But I don't care. I don't care as long as he's successful and productive.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't have to like these guys.
Absolutely.
You just have to play baseball with
them. Yes.
I think that's a common misconception in the workplace. You don't have to like everybody you work with. You need to work with them.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. And you can be very productive doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach Brown, just a wonderful year last year for him. And let's get into that, our conversation with the Brewers minor league pitcher of the year in 2018.
Pull some strings.
Tim and Taos, 2019 Spring Training Live. It's the championship season alongside Brewer prospect Zach Brown. Zach, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Enjoying the environment. Getting ready for the season. Feeling good.
Yeah, everything healthy?
Yeah, everything feels great. I'm ready to go, yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the deal here with you guys is not only consistency. You hear certain words thrown around. Consistency is one of them. But staying healthy is the other.
Yeah, definitely. Availability is our best ability. That's the big line that they use, especially during spring. Got a little ache or something. Just take care of it now and get ready for the season.
So what has the last year been like for you, man? You have the huge year last year, minor league pitcher of the year, and now you're sitting in big league camp with the name on the back of your jersey and a major league team.
Yeah, it's been definitely just an eye-opening year just to open my eyes to what I can do and to help a club like this. This is a very talented, experienced club, and just to be in this locker room is a huge honor for me, and just to see what I can bring to the table at some point this year is hopefully I get that opportunity. But if not, just going to keep pushing and down the road, hopefully help the team. That's all I can do.
Yeah, the work has to be there, and I'm sure you do that internally. You don't have to be told to work hard.
Right.
Do you realize you have to pinch yourself sometimes to realize how close you are?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I get the occasional text from one of my parents, either my mom or dad, and they're just like, hey, how does it feel? Like, has it hit you? Like, you're playing catch with Jeremy Jeffers or whatever. And I'm like, I mean, you're around the guys every day, so you feel like you're a part of the team, so that's the big thing. So I think it's kind of just set in where I feel a part of the team. Obviously, you're a younger guy, so you have to cater to whoever, or just, I mean, this group's just awesome. The relationships there, they allow you to build, the opportunities they have for you to speak up and just answer or ask any questions, and they'll have the right answers, you know. So I mean, there's how many guys in there? 65, and I feel like it's one big cohesive group, so it's been really cool.
So you said cater to the other guys, the older guys. You got to carry any bags, do any work after practice,
so
anything?
The big thing right now is Knievel. He loves marine life, so every day I have to bring my fact up. But he, I was like, you can learn something from me every day, Corey. Like, what do you want? He was like, oh, I love the ocean, love the water, fish. I was like, all right, I have a fact for you every day.
That's outstanding.
So I mean, it's nothing like horrendous or anything. Just
sure.
Go find a fact, bring it to him. If he knows it, I got 5 minutes to find a new one. So far, I'm like 11 for 11.
Baseball players are way better. We used to have to carry everyone's helmet and pads and then take them out to dinner. Yeah. It was horrible.
I'm sure there'll be a time where I'll have to do something, you know. But, yeah, like I said, it's been awesome. It's been a good couple of weeks, and looking to make an impact on the team somehow this year.
Yeah, and I know you guys use that a lot. You all want to help the team win, and that's first and foremost. But there has to be some individual internal goals, not that you would necessarily announce them to the world or say you're going to win 20 games or whatever. Where are you at with that? I mean, what's next for you internally?
I think just to keep getting better and having better pitches more consistently, you know. For me, just to be able to attack every day like I did last year and come out every 5 days and put the team in a good position to win, that's the biggest thing. And then, like I'm going to keep saying, hopefully I can help the team sometime this year.
Part of the future, Zach Brown. No Zach Brown band jokes for us, but we appreciate
it. Speak for yourself.
Okay. We appreciate the time, Zach, and we'll talk again. I know it.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, there he is, Zach Brown, Brewers minor league pitcher of the year, and you're going to see him in the big leagues very, very soon.
Did he just thank us for our time?
He did. That might be a first.
That was very nice of him. Thank you, Zach. No, you know what? You're welcome, Zach. You're welcome.
Yes, anytime, Zach. He is a good dude, good young guy. And
really good young kid.
We had to edit on the fly there. I didn't notice it during the interview that there was a little...
A little slippage when I was talking about the marine life.
Swear slippage.
And seriously, football players are mean. He's to bring him a fact about the environment and about the ocean.
That's cool.
I would have loved to do that instead of buy everybody steak, invite everyone over to my house. Why don't you make some chicken? Okay, that'd run me $200. Nice. Awesome. Thanks. Can't wait.
That's some rookie hazing there from Corey
Don't
Knievel.
Use the H word, but
to,
yeah.
I know. To Zach Brown, and he needed to come up with a marine life fact every day. So that's interesting. Young Keston Hira, who is the top prospect in the Brewers organization. It was one of the guys that stuck around for the exit of Jimmy Nelson or Jimmy Nelson's performance in yesterday's ballgame. Shortly after Jimmy came out, then it was a mad dash to the clubhouse. And there were a lot of players that stuck around to see Jimmy Nelson pitch and welcome him back to the mound.
And we will have some Jimmy Nelson news coming up right after the break.
All right, stick around for that. And Keston Hira, we're broadcasting live here in Phoenix, Arizona. Spring Training Live 2019, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here on The Fan. And welcome back. It is Spring Training Live 2019, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Matthaus, the Polish Pipe Bomb. Jeff Orlowski is getting spiked in, and he's paying his rookie dues as well here in Arizona.
Yeah, and he cut up some of this cantaloupe, Tim. I just had some during the break. That stuff is awful. I mean, it is just so bad. Like,
well, it's
there's
good
like,
for you.
But there's like no, there's like a taste to it, but it's like a harsh bite.
Put some salt on
it. Just gross. Well, that's no good for you, is it?
Tastes good though.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm trying to live past 65 here. I'm like you over there.
Yes.
Franchise is playing on borrowed time. Hey, I told you, Tim, that we would have Jimmy Nelson news.
Yeah.
After the break, Adam McAlvey just saying right now, talking to Greg Council over in Scottsdale Stadium, Jimmy Nelson will not be on the Brewers opening day roster. Nelson bounced back nicely from yesterday's Cactus League debut and will get on a every five-day schedule from here on out.
Yeah, and I believe we talked about that on one of the Hot Stove shows just a couple of weeks ago, and that would have been my guess, and we talked about that he would start out on the injured list, but I don't think it would be a big number there, a 60-day. I don't think it's that far down. I suspect if everything goes okay. Now, again, Jimmy Nelson's going to get back on the hill, and he wants to go three innings in the next start, and that is a huge indicator to me. That's an indicator that he's, in the grand scheme of things, again, we're talking bigger picture, that he's not that far away. If you go from just getting your feet wet back on the mound in a ball game, Cactus League as it was, to three innings, I think the progression looks nice for just a maybe the month of April, and you fire him up in May.
If you're able to get Jimmy Nelson pitching for you by May, huge success.
Huge. Big time. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Jimmy Nelson not on the 25, man. Not super surprising to a lot of folks. But, all right, we heard from Zach Brown, Brewers minor league pitcher of the year, and he is sort of rookie orientation, if you will, with Corey Knebel was to find marine life facts. Anthony Mandela at the
Hey, how's it going?
Board in Milwaukee. You got a couple for us?
Yeah, let's see if you guys...
We'll pass these along to Zach Brown.
Sure. This is courtesy of National Geographic Kids. Top 10 ocean facts. We're going to see how you guys do. You got two heads to put together.
Oh, boy.
Approximately what percent of the Earth's surface is covered by oceans?
Oh, this is two-thirds.
70%.
Which one are you going with?
Two-thirds and 70%.
Yeah, we'll go with 70%.
That's right, 70% on the nose.
Oh, nice job, right, franchise.
Enough of that. We're hitting 1,000 there.
Just quit while you're ahead.
And now, what do you got? A couple more.
All right, let's see here. The deepest known area of the Earth's ocean is what?
Huh? Okay, let me hear that again.
The deepest known area of the Earth's ocean is blank. It's the name of the deepest point of the ocean.
I don't know.
The ocean
it's
floor.
It's like a geographic feature.
The ocean floor.
No idea.
That would be the Mariana Trench.
Oh, you know what? That's the trench that they swim through in Finding Nemo. Yeah, I should have known that.
I think
okay.
I dated her in college, too.
Okay. Let me get the next one. Was she cute?
No.
Ouch.
Okay, we're 1-1. Here's the tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker?
To go to the casino tonight.
All right. The oceans are very big. Only blank percent of them have been discovered or explored.
Ooh. It's about 28%.
Billy, you have a guess?
25%.
5% of the world's ocean have been explored.
That is a good one.
That's a great
one. That is a good one.
There you go.
All right. We're kind of focused on some of the younger dudes in the next hour of the program. We're going to go a little bit more veteran. We're going to hear from Chase Anderson. We'll hear from Mike Moustakas, and we'll try and get in as many as we can. Some interesting stuff coming up in hour number two, but we'll stay focused here. Keston Hira on the minor league side of things, not far away from the big leagues, but it won't be breaking camp with the club. And I'm not sure. I know it's a process, and I know it's a program, and you need to stay with it and be confident in it, and that's General Manager David Stearns, having his system that is in place, announcing through the offseason that Keston Hira would start the season at AAA, and maybe for a couple of reasons. Number one, to get some more reps and just go through the natural progression, but number two could be because that saves a year of service time. And I could see both in play here.
Well, and if you think that he's as good as a lot of people do, why would you not make sure that you can save yourself that extra year? It's a bad business decision not to.
And once you re-sign Mike Moustakas, that definitely slammed the door.
Yeah, and it makes him very you can be patient because you also have to be patient at other positions with guys that are going to be on that AAA club.
Yesterday after the ball game, many of the players, if not all of them, stuck around to see Jimmy Nelson get back on the mound. And we caught up with Keston Hira after the ball game yesterday.
2019 spring training live. Tim Allen in the Brewers clubhouse with Keston Hira. Keston, how are you, man? Good to see you.
I'm doing great. Good to be here.
Everything healthy?
Yeah, everything's feeling good. Body's feeling good. Head's feeling good. Everything just feels good. Glad to be back playing baseball again and excited for the season.
Yeah, at what point in the offseason are you saying, like, man, I got to play baseball again?
Well, it was a little short offseason last year because of the fall league. So I thought this year was, like, a perfect amount. I remember last year, like, that last month of, like, January was like, all right, let's go. But this, this past offseason was, I took a good amount of time off, spent it with some family, friends, visit some places, and then, once middle of January came around, he's like, all right, I'm ready to get back out to Arizona. Yep. Headed out towards the beginning of February, and you've been here since.
I got a little bone to pick with one of your bosses.
Okay.
David Stearns over the offseason had automatically put you at AAA. And I'm like, come on, man, give the kid a chance to break camp. But you know it is a process.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, my job is to go out there every single day, play the best I can, play as hard as I can, do anything I can do to, you know, help the team win, whether it's, you know, double A, triple A, or wherever. That's my goal. That's always been my goal ever since I was a little kid, and can you continue that mindset, you know, throughout my baseball career?
Well, it's too bad you're not going to Colorado Springs. Now you got to go to San Antonio.
Yeah, I've heard some good stories about Colorado Springs and how fun it is to hit there and all that. But you know, where everyone's excited about San Antonio, and I've had some renovations done over there too. So I know a bunch of people are excited about it.
But you're on the doorstep, dude. I mean, you know you're right there. I mean, a lot of things can happen, and I don't know what it. I don't even want to mention that word.
Mm-hmm.
But you know you're a phone call away.
I mean, yeah. I mean, everyone's a phone call away. You know, everyone on that AAA team is very talented. You know, has the opportunity to make a big impact, you know, on the big league team, and you know, everyone's eager for that phone call. So, you know, hopefully it'll be sometime this year or sometime next year, or, you know, whenever it is. But like I said, just going out there, enjoying my time, you know, doing everything I can to, you know, help the team.
Seem like you're a level-headed kid, though. When you get that phone call, I mean, for me, it'd be, you know, cartwheels down down the street. But for you, it seems like you expect it.
Not necessarily expect it. You know, obviously, it probably won't hit me until, you know, I get, you know, to Milwaukee or wherever it's at. But you know, once that phone call happens, you know, call my parents, call my family, let some, you know, some of my close friends know. You know, that's definitely going to be, you know, a special day, you know, when that day comes. But I'm not necessarily expecting it. It's more of just, you know, when it comes, you know, handle it and deal with it then.
We talked a little while ago, final thing. We talked a while ago when you were in Appleton up mm-hmm. there, and it was your 21st birthday. You're playing A-ball, and you're in northern Wisconsin. What does a kid do on his 21st birthday in northern Wisconsin?
Well, I spent it with 30 of my closest friends on a bus ride back from Peoria. Yeah, we had an overnight bus ride after the game in Peoria, and turned 21 then, and went straight to bed as soon as I got back. I got back at like 3, 4 in the morning. So,
great birthday.
Yeah.
Now it's Braun, who swings and launches. That's his way.
Every year, around this time, we look west to Arizona.
They took us on an amazing journey. I mean, they really did. We should all be grateful for being able to see, because it was a magical run.
Milwaukee baseball is on the air. This is your chance to get to know the 2019 team as we take you inside the clubhouse in Phoenix. This is Spring Training Live on the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, live from the AmFam booth, here are your hosts, Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
Hour number two of tonight's Spring Training Live, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim and Tausch, Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, live in Phoenix, Arizona. Brewers night game, couple hours away from first pitch between the Brewers and Giants, a rare night game. Brewers trying to extend their winning streak to 6 here in Cactus League action. A lefty-laden lineup, and that's what you're going to see a lot this year. And I wonder, guys, if that might limit, and it depends on Eric Thames, but would that then limit or at least reduce a little bit Jesus Aguilar's ABs?
No. No, I think HP, or I think Zeus is penciled in there, and he is going to get the opportunity to hit just about every single day.
Yeah, but then where do you fit in Thames? Is it Thames in the outfield?
You're going to see that science experiment before. Yeah. You're going to see that experiment a few more times this year, which is going to make everybody. Yeah, it's, you're going to have to hold your breath. I talked about it earlier today with Scooter, Jeanette. Last time you and I were at Scottsdale Stadium, the last time Scooter Jeanette realistically had a chance to be a Milwaukee Brewer, I think long term,
yep.
They were trying to test him in the outfield and see if he would be able to play the outfield. We learned that he couldn't play the outfield when he ran underneath the ball and then did a full circle around where the fly ball was landing and then falls. And we both kind of knew he was done from there. He was going to go somewhere else. Like 3 days later, he was a red. He's not that bad, but he's not great.
No, and we touched on that in my conversation with Mike Moustakas. We'll hear that next. But touched on flexibility and versatility here under David Stearns because that's paramount. And I think that's what they tried to do. You're right, with Scooter Gennett. And when that failed, the one dimension that Scooter Gennett had in their mind was second base, and that just isn't going to be good enough for this organization, at least maybe for the next couple of year window. You better be flexible. You're not probably going to make the roster.
Yeah, I think that getting back to your Jesus Aguilar question, I think that he's going to be given every shot to hit to open the season, but I do think that Council will be quicker. If Zeus comes out of the gate struggling, I think you're going to see a lot of Eric Thames, and he's going to be given the same opportunity.
But there's a guy that, and again, any bench player, and again, Counts doesn't like to use those terms, bench players or backups or whatever. He likes, position player group. But you're going to have to find ways to keep those guys fresh as well. And maybe it's a situation mm-hmm. where, you know, it's the Braun day off or two. We all were a little miffed. At least I was when Christian Yelich once in a while is going to have a breather. A little miffed? Just a little.
Yeah, good one. But you had a meltdown that day.
Well, pick a damn game against, the Pittsburgh Pirates or something. You pick a rubber match against the Cubs, please. But you're going to have to find ways to make sure Eric Thames is put in a position to succeed. And letting him sit there for, 7, 8, 9, 10 games without an at-bat, I don't think that'll happen, guys. I don't. Well, I think they're going to try and spike him in there.
He's going to need to become comfortable hitting off the bench. He's going to have to be able to fit that role that Zeus did a few years ago when he first got into the Brewers uniform of being the guy off the bench that could, one, hit the ball out of the ballpark, and two, do it on a moment's notice, and three, do it in the highest pressure big points time of the game against the highest leverage pitchers that your opponent has.
And maybe a left-hander that they counter with. There's a little cat and mouse going on, and that's going to be we talk about the game length, the time of game. I think it'll be even longer for the Brewers this year because of all the lefties that they have. I think the opposition is going to use whatever lefties they have to neutralize a pinch-hitting situation. Thames is going to find himself going lefty-lefty late in the game in a pivotal moment. He's going to have to learn how to hit lefties. You, Pipe Bomb, had a conversation with Thames yesterday after Jimmy Nelson pitched. We're allowed, in spring camp, there's a little more loose reins on the media a little bit. And you have your regular media session, to start the day. But you also are allowed to go into the clubhouse once the players start coming off the field. In other words, once the first guy comes out, and predominantly it's been the pitcher, and they'll announce in the press box that, Yolish Chacin will be available to the media, clubhouse doors are open, and you can head down there and get in there. In this case, all the players, as we discussed, were watching Jimmy Nelson throw and wanted to greet him and stayed around. So we were waiting for Jimmy to get in, and you just struck up a conversation with one Eric Thames.
Yeah, his locker's right next to Chase Anderson. We were talking to him, and you get done with that. And I said, hey, Eric, can I ask you a question off the record? And he's like, yeah, sure. I said, what was the
– off the record.
And now here I am telling it on the radio. But I said, Eric, what was the best concert you saw over the summer? And he's thinking about it, and then he's like, well, Slayer was the best ever. And, of course –
Did you know he's a metal fan, though?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so –
You knew that.
Yeah, so then, of course, I smiled ear to ear. And then we just geeked out for about 5 minutes talking metal.
I just backed away. Huh. I was like, I know nothing, I'm out. Iron Maiden? No.
It was absolutely glorious.
For you, it was.
So is Iron Maiden considered metal music?
They are, yeah. But they've got such a nice groove and melody and everything mm-hmm. like that, and their songs are, just phenomenal. So Thames, I am rooting for him more than ever. I hope he bashes the baseball like crazy all season because he was talking about Lamb of God and Slayer and all these awesome
bands. Look at the dude. Of course he listens to metal. The guy must live in the weight room.
Billy,
walk past any weight room. I've never really known Lamb of God, but I imagine that's like every single weight room in America, just playing Lamb of God.
Well, it's at church. I mean, Lamb of God. You would have been just amazed at the smile on Thames' face, unlike a few times that we've chatted with him, right?
Yeah, I don't really think I've seen many smiles on his face when you and I were talking to him.
Night and day, right, Pipe Bomb? I mean, he was smiling, he was engaging, he was lively, he was active.
Yeah, it was great.
I would have said, hey, man, you want to host the post-game show? He would have said, absolutely, I would. Everything was golden.
He was just that happy.
Yes.
Huh.
It was just strange to see him like that behind the scenes.
It's been strange to see him like that lately. Yeah, that's cool.
Behind the scenes. I know in camera time and the fun bunch out there as the
Brewers lights
were.
Come on when that happens.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, but behind the scenes, he's a little more straight, if you will, I guess. That would be a way to put it, that not all fun and games behind the scenes, but Pipe Bomb. Cracked the seal on that one. So great job with that.
Well, thanks. He's great because he's quiet, you know, and most of the time when I'm in the clubhouse, he's sitting there just doing his own thing. He's not a very loud, boisterous guy or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, metal and the WWE, he's all about.
Now, I did know he was a big WWE guy. Yeah. But I think I'm too far gone with that situation that if I went up to him and like, hey, man, you see Raw last week? He'd look at me like, no.
Dude, really?
No, I don't have cable. Sorry, I was actually playing in a professional baseball game you were watching.
We will get directly to the Mike Moustakas interview up next here. Stick around, Chase Anderson as well. That's all part of Spring Training Live 2019, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is Spring Training Live 2019, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen, Baby Tows Bill Schmidt here in Phoenix, Arizona for spring training coverage. The Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, is here as well. Interesting stuff from Eric Thames. There's a little sneak peek behind the curtain there, and I'm not sure that... Well, I shouldn't say that. I just think everyone's got their own flavor and metal. I've been listening to more Iron Maiden this trip than I think I have in the past 20 years. But we do spike in some Zac Brown Band in there. We had that today as well. So all
we had some Chance the Rapper around the house during the week as well.
We haven't played Love and the Crew yet.
No, we haven't. We have not played. We have not played Crew Love yet. No, we will though. We will though.
We will, and we will have.
We will though.
I'm sure we'll gravitate toward a theme on the post game show in terms of a yearly song, as we get into it just a few weeks away from opening day of the 2019 championship season. Mike Moustakas, I know you and Gary had a nice conversation with Mike the other day. I had a conversation with him yesterday as well, and I welcomed him back to Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm definitely again excited to be back here. Our kind of theme this year is the unfinished business that we had last year, and I think this team's got the determination and the grit to go out there and get back to where we were last year and maybe even take that next step and get to the World Series, which is our goal.
Versatility, flexibility has been key under Council and Stearns, and now you're playing a part in that at second base.
Yeah, absolutely. Going into last year when I got traded over here, I think the question was whether me or Travis was going to play second, and I ended up being Travis. And then this year, came into camp, Travis is a third baseman and me playing second, and it's been working good so far, and just keep this thing rolling into the season.
Have you turned a double play yet? I don't know if you have.
Not in the games, no. But I've been doing a lot of practice at it.
What are the odds of that?
Yeah, it's a crazy game and things happen. But I feel comfortable over there right now. Everything's working pretty smoothly, and just keep working. Keep seeing what happens.
You mentioned unfinished business, and to me, I've been using the term the band is staying together. It's not getting back. It hasn't really changed. You would expect then similar successful results. It's just at the end who gets hot.
Yeah, baseball is a crazy game. You can't predict anything. But yeah, like you said, the band's kind of staying together, but we're adding a lot of nice pieces too. You know, Yaz coming in, and then you know, Jimmy coming back. It's like we're getting, you know, a bunch of new players that are going to continue to help this team, and then with the young guys that we have that are able to contribute, you know, it's going to be huge for us. And just being in camp this this year and seeing what these guys are capable of, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot more W's on the horizon for sure.
Yeah, big time. You've been around. Just real quick, compare a little bit between that run KC was on and then just in terms of the excitement level, the fan base, et cetera, and then what you guys went through last year.
Yeah, very similar. You know, very similar in the way we went about things, the way we won. You know, get to the bullpen late in the game and let them take care of things. But you know, the fan base in Milwaukee is unbelievable. You know, those people came out every single night ready to watch us play ball, and you know, we fed off of that. And I think there's a lot of similarities between, you know, the 14 team going into 15, and then this team going into this year. You know, we all feel it. We feel like we could have gone a lot further than we did, and you know, we all feel good about where we're at, but we're still hungry and we're still waiting to you know, get back to the postseason, which is why we play.
The year prior, and KC, the year prior to winning it, I mean, is it similar to right now? So, in other words, at that time in KC, was it World Series or bust? And I know it's an old cliche, but...
Yeah, you can't, you know, our goal at the end of each day is to win the ball game. And obviously at the end of the year is to win a World Series, but you can't set your sights there to start the season off. You got to set them out, you know, with each game one at a time. If it's World Series or bust, I mean, that's just too hard. That's just too lofty expectations to put on a team, especially in spring training. You know, crazy things happen, especially in the postseason. And all we can do is go out there and control what we can, and that's going out winning each game, starting with game number one, and see where we're at the end of this thing at 162. And, you know, I'm very confident, as well as everybody else in here, that we're going to get back to the postseason and make another run at it. But our sights are focused on what's ahead of us, and that's getting through spring training healthy and getting to opening day and grinding it out.
Colorado Rockies, extra innings, just final thing for you. That had, I mean, walk us through a feeling like that of winning that ball game.
Yeah, obviously it's a pretty good feeling. You know, you got a really good relief pitcher on the mound. And, you know, that's kind of the moments you live for. It's kind of what you dream about as a kid, coming up there with a chance to win the ball game. And I got a good pitch I could handle and put a good swing on it and was able to, you know, get that W for the boys. But, you know, none of that comes without the hard work that we put in, you know, starting today and starting throughout the entire season and getting to know these guys. And I feel like we've got a great relationship in here. And this team's a lot of fun to be a part of. And I think that's a huge thing, is not worrying too much and going out there and just doing your job and knowing that the guy behind you has got your back.
Very humble Mike Moustakas. Thanks for the time.
No doubt. Thank you, guys.
All right, there he is. Interesting things in there. Just a couple of things that jumped out at me. You know, he's the one that said too lofty of expectations to say World Series or bust in spring training. Okay, that's number one, and we can talk about that, and that's a perspective, if you will. But I also really believe in his concept of our goal is to win that day's game. Mm-hmm. And that is a big thing for me as well. So can we marry the two philosophies together?
I think a lot of it is knowing that your job each day, Tim, is going to be different. And that's one of the things that you pick up from working with these guys and being around these guys when they go in to work every day, is they know that they're playing the same game, the base paths are the same width, the pitching mound is the same distance away, but every game is going to be dictated on how that game plays out. They're all independent variables to each other that you can't necessarily go into a year thinking that everything is going to be, you're going to have the full deck of cards to play with every single day. You're going to have to go in and do your job in different fashions each time out. And to put the word bust on it, I just don't like it. I've never liked it, because
it's tough.
What you're doing is you're saying that then everything else is for naught, And when you play this game for a long time, like Mike has, you see players develop and you see players regress. And a lot of that is how your team continues to build and how your organization continues to build. And that's how you continue to be a winning organization, when you're able to understand that each game, each day you go to the ballpark, you're going to have to win in a different way.
The insight from a guy like Moustakas, a guy like Lorenzo Cain, that have been through that process of the build and the excitement, getting close and not being there, and then going back at it the next time and then sealing the deal, that insight is pretty damn valuable. And so when we say, you know, Tim's back in Wisconsin and he's a big Brewer fan, and say, well, we're going to, you know, it's a championship season, World Series, I think I do have to take, you know, those comments from Mike Moustakas with a lot of weight, because he's been there, and
yep,
done it, and he understands that a lot can happen. Craig Counsell is warning us all without being such a stern warning, but it is a warning. It's a caveat. Beware, man. There's going to be some things that happen. We don't know exactly what they're going to be. But
you don't know when they're going to come up.
And you don't know when.
You don't know when.
But they're going to happen, and not to be surprised by them, but those are the variables you talk about throughout the – that's a long ways away. And we think that as fast as last year went – But we have to keep that in perspective as well. We're sitting here in mid to late March. We're talking a half a year away, over a half a year calendar.
And, Timmy, you've known this as well as anybody does. We've seen a lot of baseball seasons where you look at the calendar and it's August 2nd, and you're like, oh, my gosh, is this over yet? We have to keep watching this. So you pinch yourself in that realm that these years go by quick because they are so much fun.
Right, and Matt Albers warned us about that too in our conversation the other day. He said, hey, man, well, you know, World Series, of course, you know, everyone wants to do that. But he's been on teams where everyone says World Series in spring training, and to April you're 10 games out.
So could be more true.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break. Chase Anderson, a lot riding. Any pressure on Chase Anderson? We'll
yes.
talk about that.
Yes,
next.
Yes, and yes.
Yeah, it's spring training live here in Phoenix, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey here on The Fan.
Why? Because they're loving the crew. They're loving the crew. They're loving the crew.
Song.
Yeah, I just got some chills down my neck.
No doubt. What a fun season.
That is fun.
Last year. Wow. And hopefully they can.
And then all that money I lost on the last day of the year, that was fun too.
That was not a good day for you.
That was not fun. No, that was one of those that I will definitely never forget.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
That was a big one. Spring training live presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Pressure on Chase Anderson. We'll discuss after we hear my conversation with him.
You just wonder about Chase, Tim, in when you develop or you try to rework your mechanics. And we talked about this with Braun, with the swing coach. For Chase, in learning a new way of going back to making sure that you stay on the rubber, sometimes I worry about you overthinking it, especially on the mound.
Yeah, it's funny. Can he recapture what was in 2017? He was dynamite.
He was so good. And
outstanding.
He held the ball away from hitters so well. He hid the ball so well. And he had late life on his fastball. It just didn't feel like that at all last year.
Extra velocity from the 2016 into 2017 offseason. Let's hear from Chase Anderson.
Tim Allen, 2019 spring training live alongside Brewers right-hander Chase Anderson. Chase, good to see you again. How you feeling?
Feeling great. Good to see you too.
Yeah, what's new? What are you working on?
I think this year just my cutter's been pretty good so far in camp. Fastball location is always something that pitchers trying to hone in on to get that where you want it going into the season. Velo's getting pretty good. My new mechanics are kind of coming together pretty nice. I think overall, if I can get the curveball going, I'll be right where I need to be for the start of the season. So as of right now, everything feels pretty good.
And spring Cactus League is a funky thing because you don't really go on the results, although you'd like to have a good ledger.
Yeah, I think for sure. I think it builds confidence. When you have good results, it builds confidence. But we understand in spring training, you're really just trying to get your arm strength where you need to be and feel good going into the season strength-wise, physically, mentally. And then, you know, once you get to the season, it's game on. You want good results for sure.
Yes, I mean, some fans will look at, you know, you guys are working on one specific pitch, and, yeah, you're getting beat around a little bit, and the fans are going to say, ah, this dude sucks. It was just not the case, man.
Yeah, especially when you got when you're able to work on things, you know. I still come to spring training with a mentality you have to compete for a spot because I think that makes you better. It gives you the edge, keeps you working hard every day. And I think for me, once I get all four pitches going, and the curveball comes, usually comes last in spring training. Once I get, it's hard to spin a ball here too in Arizona where the air is kind of thin, yeah, and it's really dry. Hard to really get that grip on the baseball. But once you get the curveball and the feel for all your pitches, and you get to Milwaukee where it's going to be cold, but if like you still get a little better grip on the ball because maybe a little bit of humidity with the roof closed and stuff like that. And as the season goes on, but yeah, for having four pitches is definitely going to be huge, and I think that's what helped me the most in 17 and in 18 as well. But being able to throw all four pitches at any time in the count, and hopefully throughout the whole season, will definitely be beneficial to not just me but all the guys on the staff.
Chase, it seems like the team has some unfinished business. And what about you, though, personally?
Yeah, I got a little unfinished business too, personally. You know, not being on the playoff roster obviously sparks a little fire with me, but you know, it worked out for the team last year. But this is a new year. I'm looking forward to going in with you know, kind of my hair on fire, and pitch like I did in 17, and you know, help lead this team or be a big part of this team getting to the you know, getting to the World Series. You know, getting in the playoffs was obviously amazing, especially one game away from the World Series. But making that next step is definitely going to be the key for us.
No, it is, and it should be. Is World Series in the cards, or don't you look at it like that?
I think you have to. I mean, I know the expectations on the outside are always great, but I think once you have expectations on yourself personally and as a team, they are far greater than sometimes the ones on the outside. And, you know, we expect nothing less but to be in the playoffs and, you know, be contending for, you know, that world championship.
Well, and you got extra motivation being a parent and all that.
For sure, you know. I got a 2-year-old who I think has an ear infection currently, which is not fun. My wife just texted me. And then we got a little girl that's due in about a week. So I'll have a little girl before the season starts. So,
well, we're going to then have you check out of camp for a while, right? I would imagine you're going to be there.
I'll be here. I think I'll come in and try to continue my throwing progression, all that kind of stuff. But my mother-in-law is going to come out and help my wife with the two kids. So yeah, That'd definitely be nice. But, yeah, I think for me to have that extra motivation, kind of like I did going into 17 with having, you know, a newborn, it always is, you got another mouth to feed, so you're going to make a little bit more money.
No doubt. I hear that. I only have one, and he's costing me $1 million, man. It's crazy.
And as they get older, they get more expensive. So
they do.
Saving now.
That's right. Chase, good luck, man.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Chase Anderson. He brings up money.
Got another mouth to feed. I love that dude,
to make some more money. Pressure on Chase Anderson. You say yes.
Yes. Oh, no doubt there is, because
yeah, I agree.
You see a guy right now that was shown to be expendable last year in that playoff run. When he's left off the postseason roster, are you kidding me? This dude was your opening day starter, and he's left off the playoff roster. He's got a lot to prove, but really he's got a great support system as well in that clubhouse. A lot of guys pulling for him.
Yeah, and cross your fingers, Chase, as well as Zach Davies, two-fifths of your rotation didn't even end up on the playoff roster. What's interesting about that is they were both healthy at the time.
Yep.
That's mm-hmm. Man.
It's the hardest thing
baby
to swallow.
Yeah, it is. It is. All right, we'll take a break. Final break, couple of minutes left. Pipe Bomb and myself, Jeff Orlowski, we had a nice conversation with our friend Jacob Barnes, one of the nicest individuals you ever want to meet in your life. We'll do that next here on The Fan. Final couple of minutes, spring training live 2019, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey, Tim and Taos, the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, live here in Phoenix, Arizona. Brewers with a night game tonight and a lefty-laden lineup, man. Tonight's game should be interesting. I expect some thump from the Brewers' left-handers. Two through, seven are left-handed hitters.
I'm interested to see it in a little bit of a cool night here in Phoenix. The ball's not going to be flying, but you're right. There's going to be some power from that left side.
And Yelich, Grandal, Shaw, Moustakas. Mm.
Come on, Hayes. Let me have it.
Come on.
Come on, let me have it.
It's a murderer's row right there. One of the nicest guys in a Brewers uniform the last couple
in
of years.
In the world.
Jacob Andrew Barnes. Polish Pipe Bomb and I had our conversation yesterday with Jacob Barnes.
2019 Spring Training Live, Tim Allen, along with the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, with Jacob Andrew Barnes. Jacob, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
No, more important how you are. You healthy? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good. Health-wise, very good. You know, mechanics, very good. So I'm very excited.
Part of a stacked bullpen, mm-hmm. and talk a little bit about that, what you went through last year. We'll get to the good stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, this game has a way of humbling you, yeah. And what'd you learn last year?
Yeah, you learned the business side real quick. You know, it's sometimes it's not necessarily how you're performing. Like my first and down, it's more so, you know, if you have options, they're going to use it. And, you know, it's part of it, and you kind of learn it. My first 2 years, obviously, I was brought up and never sent down, so I didn't really know that side of it yet. Last year, I learned it, so... that was obviously the down part, but speaking of the bullpen, the depth is awesome. I think it makes everyone better. We get along really well, so there's, you know, it's not anything bad that goes on down there or anyone, you know, rooting against each other. So it was awesome being a part of it. Obviously the overall team had that similar kind of like personality and stuff, but it was a fun bullpen and overall team.
But Jacob, is that just the trend in baseball now, though, that you're going to use, you know, 12, 13, 14 relievers?
Yeah, I think for the most part, there's still some teams that stick their starters, but I think teams are kind of, you know, going towards that route and trusting their bullpen a little more. You know, who knows how long that'll last, but for now, that's definitely kind of the way they're going.
Two or three of the guys that we talked to earlier kept saying unfinished business. Mm-hmm. And is that the theme going into this season?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, last year we thought we had the team to, you know, to make it to the World Series and compete, you know, obviously against the Red Sox at that time. But we didn't quite get there, and we were very disappointed. And so I think coming into this year, everyone tried to get, you know, a little better, try to figure out little ways to help the team just a little bit better, so we get to that extra level and hopefully can, you know, win a World Series.
I just love the solution you guys had for the Chicago Cubs. I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah, I think we all did too. That was a very very good way to obviously, you know, win the division, and then obviously the next day, you know, they lost, and it was a nice 2 days right there.
Yeah.
Do you feel an extra buzz in the crowd this year as opposed, you know, to previous? Like, when we came down, we went to Tempe Diablo Stadium with the Angels, yep. And it sounded like a home game for you guys. You know, is there more of a buzz and everything going around?
Yeah, I think so. I think Brewer fans overall have always been pretty good. But I think sometimes, you know, in years past, you know, when we played the Cubs, they kind of took over. And even last year when we started playing them, the first couple games they still took over. But once, you know, we started playing really well, and I think they even realized that they could be that little extra, you know, extra help. You know, it. I wouldn't say we dominated the home games, but I think it equaled out. I think it's always going to be a hard thing for, you know, when we play the Cubs at home to do that. But I think overall, you know, when we're on the road, like you just mentioned, we noticed there's a lot more Brewer fans. And even in the playoff games when we played the Dodgers, their guys were even making comments about, hey, we feel like we're playing at their home again because it's louder for them when they do well compared to us. So little things like that, it makes a difference. And we understand it, and it makes us want to play better. Obviously, we always want to play well, but it definitely helps give us a little extra push.
It just went too fast, though, man, for me.
Yeah.
Being a longtime Brewer fan, mm-hmm. you know, you want to pinch yourself and enjoy it. And, you know, we're doing, instead of an hour and a half or two, we're doing 3.5-hour post-game shows. And it just went so fast. Do you have to look back and say, man, I don't remember that, but I guess now I do?
Yeah, it's at the time just kind of like taking it all in and you know, just watching the process and stuff. It was hard to kind of stay in the moment during it because, you know, especially the first series was so quick, and then we had a big layover to where, you know, we were waiting a couple days till we started the next series and stuff like that, and you just couldn't really sit back and reflect on it too much.
Right.
And then afterwards, you start remembering little things that you just kind of took for granted in the moment. And then, now, like, some guys will make some comments about, you know, random whatever it is, and
ran
you're like, wait,
12 in a row.
Yeah, exactly. Like little things you forget, and then you're like, wow, we did do that. That was a special run. Or the fact that going in the last month, we were down by four or five games, and then we won it. You know, like little things like that are big things that you're so focused during that time that you kind of forget it. And
do you have a favorite time?
Game 163. I think just winning it. Winning it, especially there against that team who kind of, you know, they kind of owned the division prior to that for the prior years. And, you know, it was good to kind of, you know, take it from them. And, we were all excited about that.
Yeah, there he is, Jacob Barnes, Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski, and myself in our conversation with him yesterday. Good dude, going to be part of that bullpen, going to be part of a stacked bullpen. And he's, quite frankly, part of what makes it stacked.
Yeah, when he can be one of your last options in the pen, one of your middle guys, the dude still throws 98 and has good stuff.
Yeah,
Jacob has, I agree with him, by the way, that was also my favorite moment when the Brewers beat the Cubs in game 163 of the season. I like that conversation you guys had about reflecting on what the season was and what that run was. Now that we are removed from it. It was incredible what they did for that run. They were so nasty. I mean, every night you were watching them expecting them to win.
Yes.
They usually did, and they did it in a different way every night.
And he, like me and you and a lot of Brewers fans, you got so lost in the moment. He said it. You're so focused on the moment, mm-hmm. then you go back to reflect on what occurred, and you forget those. And not that they're not very, important
but you're so
details.
You're so focused on the next game already.
Now you look back and you say, wow, that was so freaking cool here.
It was cool.
That I forgot about that, and I forgot about this, and what a catch by this guy, and there was a huge hit, and what a walk-off, and just goes on and on. I hope, I hope that if they do end up having another special year, that, you know, I'd do a little bit better, and you want to, probably won't happen, but do a little bit better in just enjoying those moments more.
Well, reflecting on it is huge because, you know, like you said, you get so caught up in the game to game, and then they lose game 7, and the disappointment is massive, and then it's just like, oh, my God, it's over. And so a lot of people are like, well, let's just move on to next season. Bask in what you just lived through, the 6 or 7 month ride that everybody just went on, and I hope the players are able to do the same thing. What you accomplished individually, as a team, as an organization, it's only going to help you this season.
Coolest part about that is I think players usually do more than fans do, especially quickly. Because players immediately, you sit back with your buddies and you're like, man, dude, this was great.
Yeah.
We're going to miss this.
Yes.
And that's like that first couple of days. And then it sinks in that, hey, that was awesome. That was fun. I wish we could have won it. But for fans, it's tough because you listen to the sports talk radio every day, you read the newspapers, you go on Twitter, you listen to the talking heads on television, and then it all stops, and you move on to something else.
And it's empty.
Yeah, Brewers lose, damn, it's over. Packer season.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Now you've got the Bucks to bridge that gap a little bit, so that's cool.
And they have. They have made the winter a lot more fun.
Big time. Back with you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. You may just have a piece of audio from our favorite buddy and yours, Ryan Braun.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope so.
Now,
Come on, Timmy.
I have an appointment with
him.
Come on, Timmy. That's no guarantee.
Go get him, Timmy.
All right.
Go get him, Timmy.
All right, thanks to Anthony Mandela and my man Nick Bodie back at the station for Jeff Orlowski, Billy Schmidt. My name is Tim Allen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Spring Training Live, which is presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are #MillHockey. And smile, Milwaukee and Arizona. The world will smile back. See you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.